Blog Talk Radio.
Angelic advice for the world and you. Welcome to Messages from Margaret with Jerry Gavin.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It is so great to be back. I want to thank all you guys who have been patiently kind of hanging with the show over the course of the last few weeks. So you probably have noticed we did through the month of December. We did some replays during that period of time, even kind of coming into the earlier part of this year. And we have two live shows that we're still going to be doing before we move over to our new network, which I'm really, really excited about. And I'm going to tell you guys all about today before we go ahead and bring Margaret on. So there has been so very much going on in the course of the past couple of months. Now, all of you, I'm sure you in the months of December, you go through your own things too in terms of family and holidays and all of those normal good things that are occurring. But for us, we've been kind of moving in a couple of new directions and having telephone conversations and making some arrangements to do some things. And there's some very, very exciting things that I want to let you know about. So we are starting on February the 5th. Our radio program is going to be moving to the Unity Radio Network. Now, many of you may already know what that is. Many of you may not have heard of it, but there is an organization which is called Unity Church or Unity Churches that are all over the world. And I would say that the Unity Church is probably the most progressive, open-ended, open-minded community of seekers and searchers and folks who are looking for a community of people that are just different. You know, different from that which they would normally experience. And so one of the things that I'm so super excited about is having this opportunity to be a part of this new network. And that's starting on February 5th. Now, I'm kind of doubly excited about that because February 5th happens also to be my daughter Tiff's birthday. Shout out, Tiff. Happy birthday to you. So that's coming up on February the 5th, too. But what's going to be so great about the program is we're going in a bunch of really new directions. So, you know, when we moved from Hay House Radio, we came over at basically the same time. We came over with the same theme song, and we wanted to do all kinds of things that were going to bring you a whole bunch of continuity. And now we decided continuity, spontaneity. We are moving in some new directions, and we're really, really excited about that because we're going to be going with a brand new name for the show. The show now is called Angelic Connection, and it's called that because I reached out to you guys via Facebook and a bunch of other social media things and said, hey, here's some options for the name. What do you think? And again, voting much in the same lines as when you guys voted for the cover of If You Could Talk to an Angel, almost 70% of you came up with Angelic Connection, that you really like that title. So that's what the program is going to be called. We're going to have a new theme song, which is going to be a little bit more bouncy, a little bit more cool, a little bit more today, which I'm kind of excited about as well. But the premise of the show, a lot of what we do is going to basically stay the same. We are actually going to have a program that back in the day in Hayes, when I did the program, we used to do a break in the middle of the program, which we as hosts kind of love because it gives you a chance to get a quick drink of water and stuff and take a deep breath. So we're going to have a little break in the program. But the first half of the program, much like we do now, will be me talking a little bit, maybe bringing on Margaret with a topic we're going to have. I'm really excited. We got a lot of really great guests who are going to be coming up. And I don't want to tip the hand about that yet. We're going to talk about that a little more next week because we're going to talk about some of our guests. I will tell you that one of my first guests who is going to be coming up the week after our first show on February 11th is Crystal Dawn. And Crystal Dawn is the originator of and the director, the person behind the concept of a wonderful movie called The Illuminated Ones, which is also referred to very fondly as the Angel Film. You can kind of find it under the title of theangelfilm.com. And Crystal is going to be my guest on the program, talking about the movie and talking about what brought her to make a movie about everything angels and more, how she was kind of angelically inspired to do it, what brought her to reach out to the people that she did reach out to. And I'm really, really honored to be a part of this movie. We will talk some more about that in just a minute. But so Crystal is going to be a guest on the show on the 11th and on the show on the 5th. We are doing what we normally do and kind of bringing in Margaret to talk about a topic and then opening up the phone lines, as we always have done and always will do in the first program of the month, to make it an Everything Margaret show and kind of throwing that out there. So this network, this Unity Radio Network, reaches out throughout the United States, throughout virtually, I believe, almost every continent on the planet, and there are just hundreds and thousands of listeners all over the planet. So we are so psyched about being able to bring Margaret's message to an entirely new audience. And if she is listening, and I hope she is, a huge shout out to Diane Ray. Diane Ray is the person who was in charge of Hay House Radio for many, many years and helped to bring me on board at Hay House, and honored us by inviting us to be one of the first new live shows that she was bringing on the radio network. We are very, very excited about it. So Diane obviously is now the head of this particular radio network. So we've been having lots of conversations about that and doing those different things. I mentioned about the movie. So the movie, The Illumined Ones, that angel movie, it is out and you can find it right now. You can actually, well, not right now, listen to the radio program now. When the radio program is over, you can go get it then. But you can find it on iTunes, you can find it on Vimeo, and you can rent it in those places and be able to see it. It is a great movie. I'm not saying that just simply because of the fact that I'm in the movie. I'm really super honored to be in the movie, and there's points where you're actually going to kind of notice, those of you who listen to the radio program, you will notice points of the program where it is me talking and points where it's Margaret talking. Those who might not know that might miss the subtleties who are listening to it in the first time. You guys who have been following this radio show for some 5-odd years in both the Hay House and the Blog Talk Radio versions of it will probably know that. And if you're listening to the program later on, you're going to notice it. By the way, those of you who are holding on the line to talk to Margaret, please, please, please hold on. We want to take your calls. We're going to be doing so in a little while, right after I kind of bring Margaret through to offer some more messages. So the movie is a compilation of Crystal's journey, her personal dark night of the soul that kind of took her on a brand new journey and put her in contact with someone who helped her to sort of develop her angelic intuition. And in so doing, she began to reach out to people that she might refer to as angel experts or however, and that might be put together from all over the world. You know, some you might know, some you might not know. And I think that's part of the really exciting part about this film, is that a lot of times there are folks that are brought into movies who are the folks that everyone knows. And in this particular movie, there are some folks that people do know, but there are some amazing people doing some amazing work all over the world, and they're in this movie, and I'm very, very excited to be there with them. It's a really well done movie. Graphics are beautiful. I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. So when the show is over, if you feel like watching the movie, here's what I want you to do. Go to theangelfilm.com. theangelfilm.com, and you can have a chance to sit there in the comfort of your home and watch the movie. And certainly feel free to come back and comment on Facebook or wherever you might like to. I would love to hear your comments. I would love to hear comments about things that I share within the movie and others share within the movie. But I also want to let you know that those of you who live in the New Jersey area, you're I'm sure well aware from other programs that we've done that that I am heading up an organization that's called the Metaphysical Center of New Jersey. I was brought on to do work there as its executive director, and part of that is creating some new programs. So coming up in February, on February the 23rd, which is, I believe, a Friday. Help me out with these guys. I never have a calendar when I'm sitting in front of the computer and doing the radio show. So if I'm getting the dates a little mixed up, you can help me out with it. I think that Friday is the 23rd and Saturday is the 24th. And if I am incorrect about that, then, you know, you guys can please correct those dates in your mind. I would be really, really happy if you could do so. So the 23rd is the date that I am believing is the date of the airing of the film. And that is actually going to be the East Coast film premiere of the Angel movie. It's going to be there, nice big screen, beautiful sound. And I just double checked it. That is the 23rd. It's taking place at the Unitarian Center in Paramus, New Jersey. And here's the coolest part. Crystal is flying in to actually be there and meet everybody, excuse me, and answer your questions and talk all about what kind of helped her to make this movie and what was what influence the movie has actually had on people since the time it's been screening. Because what's so interesting is that there's so much feedback coming in from people at the screenings of the movie who are saying that they are actually finding that watching the movie and the information that's come forth in the movie is actually helping to change their lives. It's helping to heal things, sometimes on a physical basis, sometimes on an emotional basis, sometimes on a psychological basis, sometimes just in terms of this much greater level of understanding and this incredible sense of peace that seems to come over them from watching the film. So we are really excited about that. It is the Illumined Ones movie premiere on the East Coast. There is no one else on the East Coast yet who has premiered this movie in terms of a big screen premiere, and we have it, and we are so excited about it. So Crystal will be there taking questions. I'll be there taking questions. We're really, really psyched about it. So that's the 23rd. And then coming up on the 24th, I'm going to be teaching an angelic communication workshop, kind of taking everything from the first day into the second day and teaching people who will be there how you can communicate with your own angel. So the morning is actually going to be bringing Margaret through, doing answering questions for the group and, you know, giving a message to the group. And then later on, after a lunch break where we get a chance to kind of hang out together and get to know each other a little bit better, then the lunch break comes, and then we're going to be teaching you how to communicate with your own angels. And if I'm not mistaken, I know she said she wasn't absolutely set on her schedule, but if all possible, she said she was going to try. Crystal Dawn, the maker of the film, was going to try to stick around for that workshop and be a part of it. So kind of exciting stuff coming up right here. Excuse me, right here in little old New Jersey. But if you guys are nearby, if you're in New Jersey, if you're in New York City, if you are somewhere nearby that you can come to the screening of that film, we would love, love, love to have you be a part of that. And that is coming up in February on the 23rd and the 24th. But if you can't do that, and if you're in another location and you would like to have a chance to rent the film right now, you can do so. And somewhere over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to be making some announcements as well about how you can buy it. But right now it is available for rent. And if you would like to see it and see everything we're talking about, you can do that right now. So just go to the site and you will find the instructions on how to do so. Now, that's all about the movie. And we've talked about the radio show. So more information next week is going to be coming out as to exactly how you can tune into the show, what's going to be going on. Lots of exciting things coming up about that. We're going to be talking about where we're going to be posting the show information coming up. So that stuff is coming up. A lot of other things have been going on within my own personal schedule, which has been getting very, very busy with different kinds of work. I've been doing more work in the area of coaching, more one-on-one coaching, that Margaret has been doing with people as a result of some requests that have come up. So one of the other things that I wanted to announce as well is that starting in February, we are actually going to be doing two different times. We're going to be doing 45-minute sessions for those people who are involved in one-on-one coaching, in our coaching program with Margaret and myself. And we're going back to half-hour sessions for folks who are doing readings with Margaret. So you're going to see that coming up in February, our schedules are going to be changing and times are going to be changing and a lot of those different things are occurring. Now, here's the thing. I want to give an opportunity for everybody who may have thought last year, you know, I would really love to take advantage of the 45-minute session and, you know, get in that extra 15 minutes and that chance to maybe ask another question or maybe talk to see if Margaret could help me to communicate with a loved one who's crossed over or any of those different things. So what I'm going to do is just until the end of this month, but I really do recommend because we don't have a lot of 45-minute slots that are out there as it is, and if those fill up with you guys wanting to fill them up for sessions, I'm fine with that, but I want to be able to know that pretty quickly so that when we redo the schedule coming up in February, we have all of that taken into account. So I had a special that I was doing, which was the 45-minute readings were $150, and we gave you that special 50 off discount, which was just 50 OFF, was the code. If anybody out there wants to take advantage of that for one last time, that's the only way you'll be able to lock in a 45-minute actual reading appointment, is by doing it that way. So you're going to want to go to the website and put yourself in for coaching/reading 45-minute appointment. Use the code 50, the number's 50, not the letter O, 50, and then OFF, and that will give you the ability to get 50% off the cost of a 45-minute reading. It is the last time that we're going to be able to offer that because we're going then to only coaching sessions for 45 minutes and readings are going back to 30-minute readings, and that's coming up in February. So this is your last chance to be able to do that. We'll hold it open to you. It's the 22nd. We'll hold it open until the 30th, but please, everybody, do it as soon as you can because, like I said, there's not that many slots that are left, and if you want to fill up those slots, it would be a really great idea to do so as soon as possible. So these last two programs, I'm going to be talking to you about that, and then as of the 30th, everything will be switching. You'll see all those changes taking place. And by the way, if you want to, I think that same code is available for soul retrieval. So we'll give you one last chance of being able to do that. If it's not 50 off, it may be, check the website, check jerrygava.com under soul retrieval. It probably is telling you what to do. You could take advantage of that as well, because if we're offering it for the readings, I want to throw it out there for soul retrieval as well. And then everything kind of goes back to normal as of February 1st, because our schedule is just getting so filled up that I want to make sure that we have things set aside specifically for coaching, things set aside specifically for reading, things set aside specifically for soul retrieval, and that we're able to handle the flow of everything that's coming in and be able to take care of you. And at the same time, we are going to be doing things to take care of everything relative to the movie and the new radio show and some other brand new projects that you're going to be hearing about, excuse me, during the month of February and the month of March. So lots of great stuff coming up. Now, okay, so we talked about all that good stuff. Let's talk about today. Let's talk about Margaret's message. Now, I talked on the in the message today in the very, very brief newsletter that I sent out just about the radio program that last year Margaret had this great message for the new year where she called it the year of expansion. And this year, when I talked to her about what she wanted to talk about in terms of her annual message, we were talking about it in the early part of the year, thinking that there may have been a new program that we would have done then, but many, many other things came up. But as we were coming into this program, what Margaret said she wanted to talk about was this new concept called love and then some. And it's curious because not only has it been coming up in terms of her desire to put this out as a message for the new year so that we can all talk about this, but she wanted to talk about it also in terms of a number of readings. So this has been coming up a lot in all different readings that we've been doing. And I'm very, very excited that we're going to be talking about it tonight, and then very excited that we're going to have a chance to jump over to the phones and take some of your calls and be able to talk about that perhaps with you, and otherwise to take your calls on any other topics that may be coming up. excuse me, I apologize for my a little frog in my throat tonight. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to take a little sip of water and bring Margaret through and let her begin to talk about this particular topic, and then we're going to open up the phone. So hang on just one second. Hello, dear ones, and welcome. Happy New Year. It is so good to be on with you and have the opportunity to celebrate this brand new year, to celebrate these final two shows on Blog Talk Radio. We have been very excited to have the opportunity to do all of these different radio formats. We were very, very excited to do the program on Hay House. We've been very excited to be here, a part of Blog Talk. And now we are super excited about being able to move the program to its new home on the Unity Radio Network, as I'm just so overjoyed because each time we do this, what winds up happening is we bring with us you wonderful, wonderful, wonderful listeners who are coming from one thing to another thing. So many of you came to the radio program from the mailing list of people who had done readings, and you wanted to keep hearing the opportunity to have new messages that might come out that could help to inspire you or get you excited or maybe just make you think about something you hadn't been thinking about in that week. And then so many new people came in through the Hay House Radio Network and followed us to Blog Talk Radio. And then on Blog Talk, we brought in a whole bunch of new people who may never, ever have previously heard of me or heard of Jerry. And now we're having the opportunity. I feel like we are like nomads who are traveling in the desert. And as we're traveling in the desert, we meet another group of nomads who are like, we've been trying to find a home. We've been trying to find a new direction, trying to find a new place. So we gather together into a little bit larger tribe and a little bit larger tribe and a little bit larger. And as we now make our journey to Unity Radio, I feel so great because I think we are growing into this newer, larger international tribe that is just going to keep on growing and bringing things into very, very different directions. So that's what just gets me so excited about the potential and the possibilities that are coming up in this new network. And I ask all of you who are listening today, any of you who may listen from the information in the archives that you're listening to and the replays of podcasts, you will have the opportunity to do so again when we go into the new format. Please join us in our new format. Please join us so we can share these new messages. And one of the messages that I want to share, and it's the message I want to talk about today, is love. And it is the year of loving then some. So here is how this whole concept came up, the concept of the year of loving and then some. It came up a little bit within Jerry's own life and a little bit within the lives of people that were going through readings. And the difficulty that sometimes happens is that because you are human beings, because you are finding yourself in these situations in your life where you are trying as hard as you can to navigate situations and to navigate personalities and to navigate love, to navigate how hard it can sometimes be to love. Because let's be honest, sometimes you may love people who are not necessarily the easiest to love, or they may be very easy to love, but they don't make it easy for you to love them, you know? And so in those given situations, you may have people in your life who are who you are estranged from. You may have people in your life who you have loved and not received anything back in terms of the love that you have put out for those people. You may have people in your life that you have loved from afar because you love them and you care for them, but you can't really express to them that level of love that you feel from them, so you don't really even know them what to do because you can't be able to show them that love. I know many of you listening may have experienced that type of a thing, or you have anger around your love. You have people who have hurt you. You have people that you have loved in the past, and now you no longer have love for those people. You have anger for them, or rage for them, or frustration with them, and all of these different things. And when you think of these people, rather than thinking of them with any aspect of love, you think of them in those things that have been the hurts. So we want to talk about this because you come here. You come here, dear ones, as beings of love. Your souls are these incredible, incredible, incredible loving entities. And you come here as beings of love. And your desire in this incarnation is to find a way to convert that love into this life, to find a way that you can take every situation of those people who come into it, and then maybe those ones who make it easy to love, you can just love them and have a great time and everything is all good, and then maybe this next person who comes in isn't so easy to love, but you'll still try to love them, and then maybe this next person who comes in is very hard to love, or they're not letting you love them, or they break up with you, or they break your heart. And so in that case, now the loving becomes a little bit or a lot of bit more difficult, dear ones. And it becomes a method where now, rather than being able to look at this situation with love, you feel as though I can't look at it that way, because if I look at it that way, then I'm going to find that I cannot let go. I'm going to find that maybe it puts me back in that space where I feel nothing but pain. So I can't necessarily do that. So today, I want to talk with you a little bit about some techniques to help you with love, so that you may find yourself being able to love things in your life in the easiest possible ways that you can, and then some. To love those things that are easy to love, but then to find ways to love those things that are not so easy to love, and be able to move about in a different way. Now, it's an interesting thing that those of you who have experienced soul retrieval, or soul reclamation, rather, with Jerry and myself, or with Jerry from years before, but more so in the last couple of years that we have been doing this work together, and what Jerry now refers to as angelic soul reclamation, you know that part of the process that we talk about is reframing your memories, reframing those things that have occurred in your life, so that you are not now thinking about those traumas within your life, those difficult times within your life, and focusing on those energies, because what we always say is that was then and this is now. Once you have incurred a trauma, once you've experienced a trauma, once you've gone through sadness, once you've gone through rejection, once you've gone through all of those different things, why would you want to keep re-experiencing that experience over and over and over and over again? And yet, that is what humanity does. Humanity tends to remember the bad experience, because what your brain is desirous to do is to have you remember that bad experience so that you do not repeat that experience again. The concept being that you learn more from the things that hurt you than you learn from the things that are good. So when you put your hand too close to a fire and you burn yourself, you learn from that particular situation. And it helps your brain to know not to do that particular situation. So in aspects of survival, this is a wonderful, wonderful tool. But in aspects of relationships, which is what your entire life is about, it is not always the most functional or best tool for you to utilize. Because when you are, what you wind up doing is you're so focused on the pain. You're so focused on the memories of those things that went badly that you repress the memories of those things that went well, and that keeps you from experiencing joy, and it keeps you from experiencing love. And really what it tends to do, dear ones, is it makes you angry then at yourself. So there are people who can be married, let's say, for 10, 12, 14 years, and they may have a wonderful marriage, and then their spouse has an affair in the last year of that marriage, and everything falls apart. That year is the year that is most focused upon, not the other years. The other years of things that may have gone beautifully, of wonderful experiences, of wonderful connections, of wonderful love, all of that starts to become looked at as that was all a lie. You know, the good experiences, the things you truly did experience were all fallacy now because of an experience that has changed everything else from that experience. So that becomes the reality of what becomes truth. And truth, dear ones, is so much more than singular experiences. Truth is a combination of experiences. Truth is all of those things that are done in a loving, kind, wonderful manner, not just those things that are done that are part of what may have disappointed you or part of what may have hurt you or part of what may now have you looking back and saying, no, I do not desire to experience this experience any longer because of this. And I'm not suggesting to anyone who's listening that you need to continue experiencing life with someone who hurts you. But what I am saying is that it is possible to look back upon your life and to begin to reframe your experiences and look at them from a point of love rather than regret. So let us say that you have been dating someone and you date this person and you really begin to grow and care for this person and you love the connection of the personalities, and perhaps it's very much somebody you vibrate with on a soul level. So you really like that person. You may not have a lot in common, but you like them, and the sensual energy is amazing and the sexual energy is amazing. And then something just fizzles out and that person feels that they just are not feeling from this relationship what they were feeling before. And that comes from their own situation, their own mind, their own thinking, everything that's involved in them. So they begin to gravitate to another direction and you are feeling then devastated and feeling as though, oh my goodness, what happened here? Why did this happen? What did I do wrong? What was I not? Was I not enough? Was I this? Was I that? And suddenly, what you are doing is you have changed your entire focus from all of those great experiences that you had to focusing just on the terrible experiences and not listening any longer to what all of those other great experiences were. So if all of the relationship had been great experiences, you're having this wonderful chance to say, wow, I had some wonderful experiences here. And you know what? It didn't last, but still, these were wonderful. And I want to remember these experiences, and I want to relive some of these experiences because they were wonderful. So the analogy came forward in one of the readings that I was doing, and it seemed like such a fitting analogy because of the person's cares and concerns at that time. And I said to them, imagine for a moment that you are dating someone. And I was speaking in relationships, so we could be speaking of dating or loving or family or whoever it might be that is a close personal connection with you. So someone who is a close personal connection with you brings you to a restaurant. And at that restaurant, they suggest to you that you may want to try a certain dish that they have tried that you have never tried before. And so because they are saying to try it, you trust them and you try it. And you love that dish. Oh my goodness, you love it so much. It is exploding in your mouth. It is just this incredible experience that you are so happy that you tried this dish. And right away, what happens? When you're starting to eat something you absolutely want, your brain says at that point in time, oh my God, order some more of this, get more, get another two, get another three. I want to keep eating this food forever. I want this forever. And so you're thinking to yourself, oh, maybe I should finish it first and see if I can. And maybe you might order more, or maybe you might decide I'm going to order some to take home. This was just crazy. I can't wait to tell so-and-so about this. This is so delicious. And so now what has happened? This experience, which was suggested by the person who is in some type of relationship with you, now is no longer about just the two of you. You have now taken this on as your experience. It is you that is experiencing this energy. It is you that is experiencing the sensations, the textures, the tastes, the explosions of flavor. It is you, your energetic being, your soul that is experiencing it and is saying, I like this. I love this food. I am not just eating this because he likes it or she likes it. I am eating it because I like it and I personally am experiencing this and I love this. When you say you love food or you love a comedy program, or you love all those different things, you may have someone tell you, don't say that because it's not really love. But dear ones, it is. That is the energy of love coming up from your heart. And you are personally feeling that energy that has been triggered by that person who is in a relationship with you, a family relationship, a friend relationship, a lover relationship, whatever it might be, bringing you to a place so that you can experience this thing with them. But once they bring you to that experience that you're experiencing with them, it is no longer your joint experience, dear one. It is your experience. Because when you love someone and they trigger that feeling of love in you, it is no longer about them. It is about you. It is about you feeling the freedom to feel that feeling of love inside of you. It is about you feeling that feeling of that love of that food that they just introduced to you. It is about you feeling all of these wonderful sensations in you. Which is why when that person leaves, everyone gets in a panic because they think, oh my God, I will never feel these feelings again. But yet, do you not? If you are loving a television program that runs to the end of its season and you say, I will never feel about this television program again, I love this television program, and yet you know what? There is another one that comes along. And you grow to love that program. There is people within your life, or are people within your life, that will come along and you will love them. and you may lose them, and others will come along and you will love them. Love is not something that comes from the world around you. It may, in that you sense the feeling of love coming at you, but when you feel that feeling, you are feeling it because it is the releasing the love within your own heart, which is allowing you to love yourself. So when someone says to you, "You are so beautiful," or "You are so handsome, oh my God, I love you so much," what's that person doing? They are releasing your love of yourself. They are releasing your ability to feel a higher level of self-esteem. They are releasing your ability to let your soul say, "See, you are worthy. You are worthy. I've been telling you that forever. You are worthy," is what your soul says to you. They told you now. Now you can feel it. And that, dear ones, is about the year of loving and then some. This is the year of recognizing and finding your worthiness. This is the year of looking at all of the relationships in your life and looking at the ones that you love and seeing how those relationships affect you and how the love of those people has helped you to better love you. What it's done for you, what it's released in you, how it's helped you to love you, and thinking about how you might be able to help those people in your life to better love themselves. Not just because you love them, but because you're trying to think of ways that they might be able to expand their love for themselves. And within those relationships that you have that may not have gone well, a lot of them start out really good. So what you want to do is you want to think about those relationships and remember good parts that made you happy. Remember the parts in which you felt joy. Because what joy is love coming up inside of you. Because when you remember that person you're fighting with making you laugh, that's remembering the love. That's the then some. When you're remembering them being able to make you feel like $1 million, that's the then some. When you remember them making you feel worthy, that's the then some. And I'm saying making you feel because that's the way I know you perceive it, as a making you feel. But it's really not that they are making you feel. What they are truly doing is they're triggering the ability within you to let you feel joy, to let you feel love, to let you feel worthy. And worthiness is what love is all about, and then some. So I ask everybody to start to look at every relationship you have in your life, particularly if you are not feeling love, or you're feeling anger, or you're feeling distance, or you're feeling regret, or you're feeling any of those things, and stop, please, dear ones, from focusing on those things in your life that you do not have. Because when you focus on those things that you do not have, when you don't have that person's respect, when you don't have their compassion, when you don't have their caring, when you're looking at all those things you think you do not have, then you're only drawing more of that energy to you from other places. But when you think about the things that you had with that person that you felt really good about, the things that you did have, the joy you did have, the experiences you did have, all those wonderful things you did have, then you go into that next day feeling great because you're remembering your worthiness. If any of you have ever coached a child sports team, I ask you this. If they're going along and they've scored a certain number of goals or runs or whatever it might be within that particular game, and you're trying to coach them, are you going to have them focus on all the things that have gone wrong, on the strikeouts or the missed goals or all the different things? Or are you going to say, "This is what we've got. We've got two goals right now. They are two goals ahead of us, or one goal ahead of us, or we're tied in this game right now. This is all we need to do, is to focus on what we did that was good and then we can do more of it. That's what you say when you are coaching a team. You don't want to tell the team, hey, let's focus on everything we messed up and then go out there and try to do better. That doesn't work. You know it doesn't work. As coaches of sports teams, you know it doesn't work. So why then do we think it works as parents? Why then do we think it works as lovers? Why then do we think it will work as a husband or a wife to point out all the faults that that person has done and say, now go out there and love me better? It doesn't work. We love each other better by focusing on the good, by focusing on the love and then some. Because the more love you focus on, the more good you focus on, the more joyous experiences, the more incredible times, remembering every great experience you had in your life with every person you've had it with. When you focus on those things, that brings you the then some. You can't not draw that energy into your life when that's the energy you're focusing on. And when you focus on all the love everybody in your life has given to you, and not the rejection, not the other things, but focus on the things that you have gotten, that brings you into the energetic space of then some. And this is, dear one, the year of loving and then some. So let's jump over to the phones. I know I've talked for a while. I really, really want to be able to talk to all of you. Let's start with Tisha. She is calling from Georgia. Tisha, hi, how are you? Happy New Year. I'm so excited to talk to you. How might I help you today?
Well, since you're talking about love and I'm the first person, I don't know. Can you just give me a message about love?
So Tisha, is it Tisha or Tesha? I want to say it the right way.
Oh, it don't matter, Keisha. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So here's the thing. When you're thinking about love, the thing that tends to happen, and what's kind of happening for you right now, is when you're thinking about, oh my gosh, I want so much to be in this kind of relationship. I want to bring this person into my life. I want to have this love. I want to have this companionship. I want to have this ongoing fidelity. I just want to have this person in my life. Why can't I get this? All of that is bringing you into an energy of lack. It is bringing you into an energy where what it's focusing on is not what is there or what has been there, but what is not there. So what's really important, Tisha, is to focus on the joys that have been there so you can produce that in a different way, and even to focus on the things that you like or you love in another situation. Okay, so it is okay to, in a non-envious way, focus on mm-hmm. things that you really like in somebody else. Like, let's say you have a best friend who is in a relationship. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, I think I have to go to another place to get what I want because it's not going to work. Exactly. 100% I'm with you.
Okay. So, you know, if you're thinking about that, let's say you're thinking about a person that your best friend is involved in and you're thinking to yourself, that is it. That is the person I would like to have for me. Why do they have that person and I don't have that person? Well, when you are with that person and you have great experiences, or you might enjoy their company, or you might enjoy aspects about it, what you do then is you think about those things, and rather than thinking about them from the point of view of the lack, you think about the experience that you had and how great that experience was and how much you enjoyed it, so you can have it more. It's kind of like the food, again, Tisha. It's like going to the restaurant, and when you go to the restaurant, You enjoy that meal, right? And you enjoy it. So if somebody says, hey, how was the meal? You don't say, oh, man, it was a really good meal, but you know what? Somebody else bought it, and I am never going to be able to afford to buy that meal again, so I am not ever going to have that. And I'm sorry I had that, because now I know how much I like it, and I'll never. That is like almost guaranteeing that you're not bringing that energy to you. But when you say, oh, that meal was really good, and I liked it, and I am going to figure out a way to have that meal again, because that was really good. Maybe I'll have to do some things a little different. Now your brain and your soul are sinking, and you're saying, yeah, I really like that, and I'm not resenting that person for having this person, and I'm not thinking that I don't deserve that. I'm just starting to realize what it is that I really like, so I can make that clearer. And sometimes what happens with humans, especially when you're in relationships, is you think like, wow, I can't think that way. I can't think that I am really attracted to my best friend's guy or my friend's girl or whatever, because if I'm really attracted to them, I am a terrible person. Well, you're not a terrible person. You're being told what you're attracted to. You're being given that information. So if you can look at that and say, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for putting this person in my life. I do not resent my best friend for having it. I'm so happy for them to having it. But now it's given me such a clear concept of what I want, and I'm going to have as much joy around that as I can so I can manifest more. So the key this year, dear one, to bringing that joy into your life, bringing that person into your life, is enjoying every single experience that you have with every single person. And there's a wonderful quote from, I think you've probably heard me talk about this movie, and the quote, I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but every time you have a joyful experience, at the moment you're having it, just close your eyes and quietly say to yourself, thank you, more please. Thank you, more please. And let yourself know you deserve that. So when you're feeling that joy, or you feel that attraction to that person that maybe you're not supposed to be attracted to, but you're feeling it anyway, say, thank you, more please. Bring me more of that energy. Bring me those people that allow me to feel passion. Bring me those people that allow me to feel joy and expansion. Bring me love and then some. And Tisha, if you do that, you are going to find yourself very quickly changing your circumstances so much differently than thinking to yourself, what is wrong with me? Why can't I find somebody? You know, it's such a different mindset. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. You okay? You sound a little, I don't know, a little like, I don't know. So is everything, does it make sense though? Do you kind of know what I mean when I'm saying that? I'm not saying every situation that I'm saying is exactly for you. I'm just saying the thought patterns behind those different things, to let yourself feel what you feel. And don't feel guilty about things you feel. Don't feel upset with yourself. Just feel what you feel. And as long as you do that, it'll make you feel so much more free. All right, dear one?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Bye-bye now. We are going to jump over now to, let's talk to Samantha. And Samantha is calling from Florida. We're just trying to bring her on the line. Hi, Samantha. How are you?
Oh, how are you?
Samantha, are you there?
I'm doing okay. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Good. I'm glad. I hear you perfectly. So how could I help you today?
Well, yes. I really needed some insight on, actually the exact topic that you had today. Because I'm currently in that place at the moment, I really feel like I've messed up a good opportunity with someone. And I have been trying to reach out to him, and he hasn't been responding. And
okay.
I just really want to know
why do you think why do you think, first of all, that you messed up? Why do you think that? What do you think you did that
because
messed it
up? Because I stopped communicating with him, and that would be a big mess up.
Okay, and why did you stop communicating?
Because I felt that maybe I wasn't ready for that relationship, but I see it was just a lot of nerve and fear, and now I want a chance to rectify that. That's why I'm asking if you can give me any insight on that.
Well, the insight, Samantha, I would like to actually offer is maybe a little different than what you're asking, and that is that, so sometimes what happens is that what regret is regret is a situation where one makes a decision, and then once you make that decision, you look back upon it and say, oh no, maybe I should have made this decision instead. Because now you're looking at that decision and you're saying to yourself, you know what, maybe that wasn't the right decision. So I want to ask you a question about that decision, Samantha. Did you make that decision from your head? Did you make that decision from your heart? Or did you make that decision from your gut?
I mean, I just made it from my head.
Made it from your head. Okay. So when you make a decision from your head, then generally that decision is somewhat based in trying to be as logical as you can, trying to, as the brain will do, prevent yourself from being hurt. And decisions that are made from the head, first of all, understand something, and that is that no decision is ever irreparable. And no decision is wrong. Because every decision you make, if you utilize that decision to love yourself with it, whether it is a decision that may have been the best decision or what you might think in your human sense is your worst decision, it is still a decision that is bringing you to a place of growth and a place where you have the opportunity to expand love. And that's part of what I'm so happy you brought this up today, because we expand love not just by the decisions that you think are great decisions, but also by the decisions that you might not be completely sure about. But right now, where your energy is centered, is your energy is centered in a place where you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I don't know what to do about this, and I'm now, rather than focusing on the experiences that you had together and looking at them from the place of love where you're able to look upon them with positivity and joy and just say, I'm really thankful that relationship took place. Wherever it goes, it was a great relationship or it was a great opportunity. Or if you look at it and you think to yourself, you know what, maybe it wasn't the greatest relationship, but I enjoyed this part or this part or this part. When you do it in that way, it's going to help you to relax your level of regret by focusing on the joy. When you're focusing on just the joy that happened there, it will help. And then in your communication, to just simply say, you know, you don't have to go into huge aspects of blame of yourself or blame of another or whatever, but just to say, you know, my head thought that this was the best decision at the time, and this is the reason why. These are the things that I've been hurt with before, and now I'm not sure if it was, and now I wish I had the opportunity to explore this further. But I will tell you this, Samantha, if you put that energy out there, if you put out the energy of loving the experiences that you had, if you put out the truth in your communication by just saying, I think in making this decision, I made it from my head. Not to say it was a mistake, but just to say I made it from my head, not from my heart or my gut. And I wish we had the opportunity to start over or whatever. If that doesn't happen, then, dear one, that is not your decision, and it is not your fault, and it is not your mistake, because now you have given the ball over to the other person, and it now becomes their decision. So in that case, it becomes his decision to continue the relationship, his decision to move forward with it or not to move forward with it. And that becomes his decision to make a good decision or to, if one might say, to make a mistake, to make a mistake. But that, dear one, is up to him then. And you can't hold yourself accountable then for his decision. Just because one makes a decision and changes their mind, it's human nature, dear one, to change your mind, because you don't always have all the information. You don't have always all the answers. You don't have everything that's available. So at a later point in time, you might think to yourself, I think if I had all this available then, I might have thought differently. But dear one, you made at that time, you made the best decision you could make with all of the energetic information you had and all of the emotional wherewithal you had. And now you've kind of grown and expanded a little bit from that, so you're thinking a little bit differently. You've put yourself forward. If you wish to do that one more time, do it one more time in that manner that I suggested. But know then, Samantha, that if he does not respond in that way, then that is not your decision, and it has nothing to do with you. That now is a decision on the part of the other person. Do you understand what I mean?
I know.
And that then takes away that responsibility. Now, it very well may go in a good direction, but I can't predict that, dear one, only because just like you had a change of mind, the person you seek may have a change of mind. There is no way to honestly know how one situation is going to turn out. All I can tell you is I would suggest you definitely try again. And I would try the way I suggested it to you by simply saying, at the time I made that decision, I made it from my head. I did not make it from my heart or my gut. And my head is thinking that maybe it wasn't really well thought out. And I would love the opportunity for us to try again. And leave it at that. All right, dear one? Let him make that decision from there. But you will have done everything you can, and then think about everything in the relationship from that point of view of the love. Of loving those things that you experienced within it, so that instead of doing what you're doing to yourself right now and regretting the mistakes that you think you might have made, because sometimes when you look at your own life and you think back, there are some things that you thought in your life were mistakes that now when you think back to them were some of the best decisions you've ever made. So don't beat yourself up about decisions that you don't yet know where they were going. All right, dear one?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Smith. It's important, dear ones, to know that when we're talking about experiences and we're talking about questions and we're talking about those things that you would like to know, that it's impossible to predict future. And I know so often when someone speaks to a psychic or they speak to an angel or they're trying to get information, they want so much to know what's going to happen with this. Is this going to be this way or is this going to be that way? And there is no accurate way to predict how one person will respond in a given situation in anything that's going to happen. And in that sense, you don't even want to do that, because then everything you're going to do is going to be geared on that information that you're trying to manipulate or create, rather than allowing energy to flow in truth. And knowing that whatever happens when you come from a space of love is responding in a space of love. That's why it is always best to come from that space of love, so that you can allow that experience to take place in that way. And I want to just close with one more telephone call. We're going to speak to Allison, who's calling from Arizona. Allison, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Allison, hi.
Yes.
How are you? We have
hi.
Just a few minutes left, and I wanted to just take our last phone call with you. How can we help
you? Thank you. I've tried this. Well, it's only a few minutes left, so I guess I'll have to just really, really super, super simplify my question. It looks like I need to make a relocation this year, and it's not something I'm super excited about or even really desiring to do, but it looks like it's really necessary to do it. And I just want to kind of get a feel whether or not this is going to be as fruitful of a move as I aspire it to be, or, you know, like if it's going to really fulfill its purpose in a rewarding, positive way.
Okay.
Well,
what I would rather try to... And here's what I want to give you as a way to make that happen, because you want that to occur. That is what you most want to have happen, right, Allison? You're not looking at this move and saying, I am not going to move. I'm going to stay in this place. I'm going to do everything the way I've always done it, because it hasn't worked out the way I would like it to turn out, but I don't want to change. You're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, I am willing to change because I think that maybe there is the potential that if I change, that something may be there within that new location that is not here that will help to do better.
Yeah.
Do you know the reason why people think that, Allison? They think that because when you physically change yourself from one location to another, it is a major move. And what does that major move mean? A major move from one location to another means that there are new people that you're going to associate with. There are new situations that you're going to be a part of. There are perhaps new employment opportunities that are going to take place. There is a new place to live in that you may be able to decorate differently than you had done before. All of this indicates one major thing. And that is that you are creating a new energy around you. Now, when you're creating a new energy around you, Allison, the thing is that you have every opportunity then to frame that new energy in a really, really positive way by looking at every single experience that you are having and looking at it in such a way as to say, this is it. This is my new life. This is my new experience. This is this new place that I'm coming to. And I have every day as you wake up, you can say, and I've often suggest this affirmation, and I suggest it to you, Allison, right now. You can create this life you want to create by every day waking up and saying to yourself, why is it so easy for today to be the most wonderful day of my life? Why is it so possible for this new place to be the most incredible new experience of my life? Every new person that you meet, every new place that you go to, why is it so easy for me to make friends everywhere in my new location? Why is it so easy to find the perfect place to live? Why is it so easy for this new experience to expand every bit of love in my life and then some? Thank you, Allison, for your call. Thank you all very, very much for being a part of this program today. Thank you for your support over these last 5 years, and we can't wait to be back next week once again to be able to join you right here for Messages from Margaret. Bye, everybody. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.